Welcome to the Seller Insights Hot Seat. This is a series where we dive into an Amazon seller problem we want to solve with the help of an expert guest, where we ask focused questions around a specific topic and perhaps take an over-the-shoulder look at strategies and tactics to solve our common problems. A quick shout out for ZonGuru. ZonGuru is an all-in-one toolset for Amazon private label sellers, a world-class, powerful toolset to help you scale through data insights and automation. Check us out at zonguru.com and start your free trial. If you're looking for product ideas and inspiration, check us out at ZonGuru on our Instagram channel. It is a pure feed of the latest, greatest products that sell on Amazon and why they sell. Check it out at ZonGuru.
Today we have Jake Barnett, the VP of Business Development from Fortunate. How are you doing, Jake? Good to meet you.
Yeah, good to meet you. Thanks for having me, John.
Yeah. So you're right now in Kiev, but mostly based in Mexico City, right?
Yeah, that's right. Born and raised in South Florida. I've been doing the digital nomad thing for about 10 years now. So I've been in Mexico. I'm currently in Ukraine. I've been the last month or so in Eastern Europe, mixing kind of work with some pleasure, you know, getting to meet a lot of really awesome Eastern European sellers. So it's been super fun. But yeah, I'm in Kiev now and next week to San Diego.
Living the dream, man. Living the dream. That's great.
Yeah.
Speaking of living the dream, I think as Amazon sellers, I mean, obviously one of the best ways to continue living the dream is to sell your first Amazon business. I think that in a nutshell is a great way to set yourself up financially, and definitely from my side of the fence, probably the main thing that sellers should focus on is sell your first business and then just build a few more after that. So we know it's such a hot space right now with the aggregators in the space, and it literally is something extremely tangible for anyone who's selling right now, is that you can literally start your private label Amazon business and probably within 2 years, if you do it well, be in a position to sell it and sell it for a good amount. So, maybe just to touch a little bit on your background and Fortunate, but then I think if we can dive a little bit into, some of your key insights around setting, the things that you need to get right to sell your business. Maybe some things that you guys as buyers look at, and what are the important aspects there? I think that'd be great.
Yeah, absolutely. So Fortunet is an investment bank that advises brands that are looking to exit. So we kind of sit on the same side of the table as the seller, as they're negotiating with aggregators or private equity or whoever that buyer might be, fighting for the interests of the brand to make sure they get the best deal, the best valuation, the best deal structure, all of that. I've been with Fortunet about 6 months. Prior to that, I was actually on the aggregator side. I actually started with an aggregator in 2019, I guess more than 2 years ago now, when nobody knew what an aggregator was. Nobody knew about buying Amazon businesses. There was like two at the time. One of them you've probably heard of. The other one I work for, it's hasn't been as successful, but it was super interesting getting into the space in that it's such like a nascent time, and seeing it now explode. So started in like mid 2019, I did something like 15 deals on the buy side. And I decided to kind of switch sides and work for the sellers, take some of the tricks of the trade that I learned on the buy side and use that to help sellers get better valuations. What I've seen personally is, a lot of sellers are really amazing at what they do, building brands, launching products, growing them, all of that. But most sellers have not sold a business before. Maybe they've sold one, that would be kind of the exception. So I think sellers are great at doing what they're doing, operating and building Amazon brands, but they don't have a ton of experience with M&A. So myself and definitely Fortunet, we saw a need there in terms of advising and consulting with brands to make sure that they get the best deal possible. You can only sell a business one time, of course. And like you said, it really is a way for folks to unlock a lot of value that they've been building in their brands. I've heard a statistic before that something like 50% of all the take-home pay that you'll get from your brand is going to be when you exit it. Because after working capital, inventory, all that stuff, you know, a lot of sellers who are making a lot on paper actually aren't taking that much home. So I think more and more people are looking at an exit as their ultimate goal for the business, for Amazon businesses, and certainly a hot space. We're in a period of time when billions literally have been raised by these aggregators and others, and you have folks like private equity getting involved too. So it's just a super hot time, a really good time to be looking at selling a business.
Yeah, 100% agree. And I think it's super cool to have you on and get your insight in terms of, you know, obviously, you know, we've spoken to the aggregators, they tell us what they look for, but maybe from your perspective, having been on that side of the fence, and now obviously in the seat of the sellers, you know, what are the key things to make sure you've covered when you're approaching an aggregator, you know, looking to potentially sell? What are the things you need to get right? And importantly, what are the key things to focus on so you can get more out of the aggregator, you know, knowing what you know? Yeah.
That's what it's all about. One of the toughest things, but the most important ones is always about timing, timing and momentum of the business. So, you know, I think that part of the reason that aggregators are buying these businesses rather than building them themselves is because they're trying to capitalize and piggyback on the momentum created from these amazing third-party sellers. So if you time the momentum wrong, then you could be in really big trouble. I had plenty of folks that when I was with an aggregator a year ago buying businesses, I was pursuing them. We wanted to do the deal. They said, I'm growing so fast, you know, I'm just going to do it next year. I'm going to have double the profit. I'll have such a better exit. Well, it turns out a year later, we see a lot of categories and brands are starting to decline. You know, sales are getting pulled back on Amazon, all of that. And we say, you know, it's really tough to sell a business that's in the midst of a decline or potentially a free fall. So that's one of the harder things to do. Nobody can predict the future. Amazon sellers are very confident because a lot of them have just grown so fast in such a short period of time, but understanding kind of where you are in the growth curve and timing the exit, trying to time it optimally there is super important. It's really hard. And that's something we spend a lot of time with folks on, understanding where they are, understanding the risk of going forward versus selling sooner. So that's a long conversation, but I think it's super important.
Just to make a note there, but I think it's a really important point because, you know, aggregators or, you know, especially if you're talking to aggregators, but anyone buying in the space, they're not really just looking to buy a business, you know, because in this specific area, they're not trying to buy a business because, hey, it's a cash cow and it's making money. What they truly are buying it for is the growth potential. So, you know, you obviously really have to understand, you have to have a successful business, but there has to be a major, you know, growth curve ahead, and wherever that opportunity is, whether it's on Amazon or beyond, that's what you need to be able to show the aggregator, and that's what you're going to get your multiple for. So it's a really important point.
Yeah, and it's like a really interesting concept. It was kind of hard for me to like get it first when I started doing this, but you need to show that you're growing like crazy and you have good and healthy growth. That's on like a margin level, that's on, you know, all your channels are still growing, et cetera. But you also need to have a good narrative for future growth, right? The buyers are looking at the last 12 months as the basis for evaluation, but they're buying the future profits. So having a good story about what you've done in the past is important. Okay, of course, you know, highlighting the good parts and trying to create a narrative around maybe some of the struggles and paint those as opportunities, that's all important. But showing the future of the brand and what you can do with it is really important as well. We always have the conversation. People ask us, you guys probably hear this stuff as well. Should I expand internationally? Right? Like a lot of people are growing. They get 10, 20, 30% lift from going to Europe, Canada, et cetera. And, you know, we're not going to tell people don't do that or do that or don't do it. It's really more personal, but there's pros and cons to each because you can add to your profit, or you can leave something that's relatively easy for the buyer to improve upon, because they're really concerned as well about how they can grow businesses, because they want to show that to their investors that not only can they acquire the businesses, but they can grow them. So that's another question. It's not always a simple advice. That's the thing with all of these questions is there's always an asterisk or some kind of disclaimer. But that's the type of questions that we deal with all the time.
If you'd like to get access to the latest 60 hot products that you could sell on Amazon right now, check out our link at zonguru.com/get/hot-products right now and get access to a beautiful ebook where you'll get the most amazing products and why they sell on Amazon all for free. Check it out right now.
What would you see as the major, triggers for an aggregator that they look at from a growth potential? Obviously, number one being, you know, other markets, other Amazon markets that you haven't tapped into yet and maybe showing the potential there. What are some of the other ones? You know, for example, you know, your Shopify sites or paid media could be one avenue. Are there any other ones that they really look at where they're like, hey, you know, have you done an MVP in this area? Or you haven't touched this area, and that's what is like mouth-watering to an aggregator where they're like, okay, this is what we want to go after. Yeah.
Well, one of the ones that definitely was mouth-watering is stockouts. And it's kind of ironic because I know how much of a pain this is for sellers. It's like the bane of their existence is when they stock out, they're, you know, or maybe a suspension that isn't so serious. These are things that keep sellers up at night and are, you know, taken off their bottom line and all of that. But ironically, these are things that the buyers look at as easy improvement opportunities, right? If you had a month worth of stockouts in the last 12 months, they are hopefully going to be better at logistics because they have huge teams that's all that they do. And they also have like basically unlimited working capital. So they should be, if we would see a month stock out and we'd say, okay, this is an easy lift right there. What we do at Fortunet to kind of counter that is we'll often make adjustments or a pro forma, what's called a pro forma P&L, where we will estimate the sales losses for those issues and then negotiate to have those added back to the P&L. So we understand that the buyers love that and they're looking to get a good deal out of it because these are struggles that a lot of people have dealt with all these logistics issues in the last year or two. So we'll kind of try to fight that on their side, say, yeah, we know that's appealing. You should give the seller some credit for it as well. So that's the kind of thing that I think if you're talking to an aggregator, you've had those kinds of issues, even though it's really tough for you as a seller, you should think about actually that's attractive. That's attractive for the buyer and you should negotiate based on that point.
Now that's super cool. So basically you're saying like, you know, whenever they're working at the multiple and obviously that's on margins, but it's on sales. Let's say you did 1.4 million in revenue, but actually you stocked up for a month because of a suspension and whatever you lost stock, you can actually say, hey, you know what? We should have done 1.7. Yeah. And then negotiate on that price. Yeah. That's super cool. I love that. That's a great little tip. Yeah.
It's not just like a given. You can't just throw anything back. Sure. You can't just add back anything to the P&L. It has to be reasonable. You have to be able to kind of back it up and you have to be ready to negotiate it as well. But it's why not? I mean, the buyers are doing their own calculations based on those things anyway. So why not get credit where you deserve it?
Got it. And what about... you know, so is it these other channels that they look at, like, hey, other markets, other channels outside of Amazon that are potentials, or is it more, is that more of the priority in terms of what's mouthwatering to aggregators, or is it more, hey, what other products can we launch in the pipeline that you have lined up? Like, what's more mouthwatering to them? Is it the potential of other marketplaces that haven't been tapped or channels, or is it more, hey, you have a brand and there's a potential of another four or five products that could come out of this that you haven't tapped into yet because maybe you don't have the capital or you just haven't got there yet, or what's more important to them?
Yeah, I think that like when the aggregators generally, of course, now there's so many of them and they're starting to specialize more. So different folks are kind of interested in different things, but I just say generally, I don't think that like aggregators are super interested in future product development outside of perhaps variations. I think it's going to be part of their roadmap, but it's maybe not the most attractive thing for them, unless we're talking variations that can capitalize on their existing product lineup, you know, sizes, bundles, stuff like that. I think channel expansion, you know, apart from Amazon international marketplaces, is kind of a little bit down the list of what they love. You know, things like Walmart.com, I think that we're seeing that grow and expand. And I definitely think that's a relatively easy opportunity for a buyer. Just throw it up on Walmart.com. Maybe you'll get 5-10% lift. But I think that the whole thesis around the aggregators is they love Amazon. This is the future of e-commerce. They think the market is going to continue to get more saturated, and it's going to be harder to dislodge these top ranked and top reviewed products. And that's what they're buying. It's kind of this concept of digital real estate that's often referred to. So I think that like international expansion is an easy one there, because you can kind of capitalize on what you've already done. And the same with some like variations of existing SKUs. But I don't think that a lot of them are super interested in like Shopify yet. I think it's something that's perhaps the future, but the game, the name of the game is Amazon now.
So they're probably just basically saying, hey, you know, we want to buy your brand because probably we can optimize it a little bit more in terms of imagery, listing, images, you know, kind of improve that service, you know, the usual kind of optimizations from their team. But also probably what they're doing is they're really looking at your niche and saying, okay, what is the growth rate of that niche, and where is it at the point? Like, you know, if there's still massive growth potential for your niche ahead in terms of the organic natural growth of that niche over time, that's what's going to be super interesting to them, because they're like, you know, we're just going to optimize and then we're going to grow over the next couple of years. Yeah,
exactly. And I think like some other things that they really love are a lot of it's revolving around working capital, right? Like these Amazon businesses generally are like capital constrained. Everything's tied up in inventory. They're growing fast. They never have enough inventory coming. That's kind of the same as the stockouts. Directly related to that, I think, is like advertising. Is advertising optimized? We see a lot of folks that could be spending more on advertising and they're not, because why would you do it when you're running out of stock? So that's another one where they can just throw fuel on that fire and just blow things up. So I think it's all kind of related to the inefficiencies of small businesses, especially related to working capital and your team and just resources. You only have so many hours in a day where they can say, let's throw fuel on the fire with a lot of capital. Let's get our huge teams of hundreds of people to go in 10 different directions that you wish you could do as an owner, but you just don't have the time or the team perhaps to do it yet.
Hey, if you want to connect with us on social channels, check us out at Zonguru for Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and YouTube. Check us out right now at Zonguru.
Pretty cool what you guys offer. I think being on the side of sellers, I mean, you know, I know the complications and the nuances within that kind of sale. And if you get certain things right and negotiate on certain things, your multiple at the end of the day is a lot higher, and most importantly, to your point, timing, which I think is critical. So, those are really good insights. I think, you know, what I'd love to understand is in terms of working with Fortunate, you know, how does it work on a sale? Do you guys just work on a commission basis based on the sale? And then secondly, when is the appropriate time to start connecting with you guys? I'm assuming it's probably on the earlier side rather than the later side.
Yeah, sure. Appreciate the question. So we're 100% success based. It's commission, you know, when you sell the business. We only take a commission on when you get paid as the seller. Some people might have performance payments or some kind of deferred payments, and you know, our motivation is always most cash up front as possible. Most of our deals are 90% plus cash for those reasons. That's what sellers want as well. Definitely the sooner the better when it comes to having a conversation. We have a lot of clients that are longer term consulting, where we work with folks 6, 18 months, 24 months ahead of a sale to try and enhance the intrinsic value of the brand prior to that sale. You have different tools at your disposal if you have a longer term horizon. We look at things like IP. You know, something that definitely adds a lot of value to a brand is intellectual property, patents, trademarks, of course, et cetera, as much as you can do there. One of our partners, Yael Kabili, she's a e-commerce law expert, patents and all that. So we look at things like patents, perhaps taxes, business structure, profit optimization when you have a longer horizon. So I think earlier the better. We certainly think that when it comes to actually selling, you don't want to rush that process. It still kind of amazes me that when I talk to sellers that have built a business over 4 or 5 years, and then they want to sell in 30 to 45 days because that's what the aggregator is advertising. Quick close. We say, listen, we're not going to take that much longer, but let's take another maybe month or two. Make sure you have all the financials in order, 100% correct. Make sure you have a really good narrative of the business. And I think most importantly, make sure you get full market coverage, 100 plus of those aggregators. Make sure you include everybody in the process in a way that gives each of them time to analyze and make their best offer. So sooner the better. In terms of an actual timeline, people that are ready to sell, we think that at least kind of 3 months before you want to close is kind of a minimum. That's kind of our general time frame.
And what is does the commission rate vary, or is it a set amount on the sale?
Yeah, it varies. Depends on the deal size. It's typically between 5 and 10%. The bigger the deal, the lower it goes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I mean, for 5 to 10%, and you know, I'm assuming. Well, I would think that with your expertise, just knowing what I know, you know, adding 5 to 10% on the actual final price is more than achievable, right? So you're gonna absolutely get your return if you bring on someone like you guys. So very cool service. Yeah. Very, very, very cool. I think I would encourage people to probably get involved with you guys earlier, kind of just going at it on an assessment basis. Hey guys, I'm thinking about this. What do you think? What do I actually need to do? Because, you know, anybody who hasn't sold before, you know, if you want to sell 3 months out and someone says, hey, let me look at what you got, and you're like, your book's on in order, you don't have SOPs, you haven't figured out like these 10 things, it's going to take you way more than 3 months to get all of that in order. So knowing what you need to do up front and having that done early is just going to, you know, make sure that you can exit and probably hopefully exit without having to stay on, you know, because that's what you want, right? You want to be able to, and there's a lot that you have to be quiet to be able to do that. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Usually. No, we're always happy to chat and kind of give our no obligation advice and feedback. Like, we do a lot of qualifying of clients as well, because we want to make sure they're a good fit for us. But, you know, we're all about education, and, you know, I'm a believer in reciprocity when it comes to those things. So we're always happy to give a look, give our advice, whether you decide to go with us or not, or whatever direction they want to go, we're happy to do it. I'll tell you, in terms of like the fee and how we can get more, we've actually measured this. We have a lot of people that come to us with last and final offers in hand. They've negotiated with one or two buyers, and we'll typically get 30, 60% higher valuation than what they negotiated.
Wow. Yeah. That's insane.
It's pretty wild. It's pretty wild. Just because, you know, like, maybe you approach 10 or 20 aggregators. That's not enough. Maybe you didn't find that one buyer who just absolutely loves your brand because they have another competitive product, or maybe they have another brand that's super synergistic. All those things, ad backs and everything. So we've had times where we get, you know, millions more for people who negotiated really hard with buyers. So yeah, we pay for ourselves.
Good to know, man. Sounds like a done deal.
A little biased.
Good, man. Good to have you on. I appreciate connecting. And I've actually connected with Yael before, and you guys have a good synergy there, I think, between the law side and the legal side and what you guys have. So cool service. And look forward to connecting in the future as well.
Yeah. Thanks so much for having me, John. Great to meet you.
If you enjoyed this episode, go to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google Podcasts and subscribe today to check out all of our other episodes.